God's grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Text is the gospel reading. To fellow redeemed, this previous Sunday, Holy Trinity Sunday, I was privileged to baptize into Christ's death and resurrection a baby girl. I baptized her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Questions asked, why did I baptize her? Because like all of us, we are in need of the gift that comes in and through baptism, the washing of our sins, the uniting of us with Christ in his death and his resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that wasn't what I meant when I asked the question, why did I baptize her? I baptized her because our God, through the local congregation, called me into the office that he established. As he met with his disciples on a designated mountain in the land of the Gentiles, he establishes an office of pastor. And as he established that office, he established some mandates that go with the office. That the men who would be called to fill that office would fulfill. And I'll address those mandates in just a moment. But first, we look at the meeting. Judas had effectively created a vacancy that had not yet been filled, so there were just 11 who journeyed to this mountain that Jesus had previously instructed them about. You know, mountains are a very important place in Scripture. It was on the mountain that the law was given. It was on a mountain that Moses died. It was on a mountain that Jesus was transfigured, and now it's on a mountain that he meets with his 11. To that place, Jesus comes. And when he does, his disciples go face down in worship. Gingrich and Danker would offer prostration as the position of his disciples. They are in awe. They are aware of the power of the one that is standing before them, but the disciples also doubted. Like every man who has been called to fill the office of pastor and every man and woman that man has been called to serve, they were sin-filled human beings who had their frailties and had their doubts, had their concerns. I pray that everyone here has had their times of doubting and struggling with the doctrines of the faith. If not, you may wish to reconsider career. We should struggle. Because we are sin-filled, because we are frail, because our abilities fall short, we should struggle. We should struggle with prayer and meditation and testing to work through those struggles. We should never be lazy with the doctrines of the church, but we should work them. The disciples doubted and yet were worshiping. Jesus came to these 11 and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given to me over earth and heaven. As you go, then, make disciples of all Gentiles, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the completion of the age." The mandates that Jesus gives to the office of pastor is to make disciples by baptizing and by teaching. By baptizing them into the name of the one true God represented to us in three persons, that one true God present from before the foundations of the world, certainly present at the calling into being of all that we know and see. Baptizing them into that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, and yet only one God, teaching them about that God, about the doctrines that we hold so dear, including that our God would love us so much that his Son would come to us. And he would take on himself the frailty of our sin, the guilt of our sin, that he would die and rise again so that we may know that we have life in his name. Why did I baptize this little girl? Not because I have any authority whatsoever. Even in the Declaration of Forgiveness, it is not said, I speak on not my authority, but on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was standing with his disciples, who had all authority over heaven and earth. Not because I have some self-righteousness to share. I have none, I assure you. I was able, and because I've been called by that congregation through the Holy Spirit, called to serve them, and I did it because the one who won for me and all who would hold this office and all that they would serve, won for me and us, all of us, the forgiveness of our sins and his death and resurrection, the one who washed us in the waters of baptism, and now comes in his body and blood, touches this man of unclean lips and puts into my mouth his forgiveness, because he has the authority to do that. He gave me a mandate. He gave all who would hold the office a mandate. Make disciples by baptizing and teaching. Before that divine service was concluded, during the distribution of Holy Communion, a little girl, 4.5 years old, who I had baptized a few years earlier, came to the communion rail with her parents, and she handed me a piece of paper, which was a drawing. After the service, I was looking at the drawing, and I stopped and talked with her, and I asked her to explain the drawing, and she said, well, that's my family. I noted that there was one too many people in the family. She said, well, silly, that's you. You're there with my family teaching us. It doesn't get any better for this frail, sin-filled human being that, for reasons I still don't understand, that God has called into the office, to know that the people of God that I serve see me filling the mandates, baptizing and teaching. It's all I could ever ask. I baptize and I teach because the one who has authority over all creation created an office, and he called this poor, miserable sinner and all who serve that office into the office, never leaving us on our own, always coming to us so that we can baptize, teach, and let the Holy Spirit use that work to bring others into the kingdom of God, that they too may know the forgiveness of sins that is won for them on the cross, and that the Holy Spirit would give them the ability to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.